to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we have got a great guest on today who we'll be talking to in a few minutes here. We have Beth Rivard, the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program, which is out of the Women's Correctional Facility in Purdy, Washington. And so we're going to talk with her for most of the show in a little bit and give you all an opportunity as well to call in if you have any questions for Beth. So I am so excited to talk to her in a little bit. But have a few things to talk about before we go in with that interview. So I did, Eric, order the movie Old Yeller, and I'm going to finally watch it.
Well, clearly you didn't watch it before the show
because
you've got your composure intact.
Yeah, no, my eyes are not swollen.
That's right.
So I'm facing my greatest dog movie fear, and I'm going to watch it this week. So,
all right. We can get that dog movie review next week.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be walking into the studio.
Two paws up or
not crawling.
One paw.
Well, and I did see figured it was appropriate to watch The Truth About Cats and Dogs last week. And
how was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
A little disappointed in that movie, but that's okay.
So you didn't feel like it lived up to its title then?
No, I mean, it was, you know, she has a radio show, and it's about animals, and mm-hmm. So...
Well, it seemed like it would have been just right up your alley.
Well,
then.
Yeah, that's why I watched it, but that's all right. I had seen it, like, years ago, so I figured I'd check it out, but...
Well, we've got the true truth about dogs.
That's right.
For today on the show, of course.
The truth, well, at least my opinion anyway, but... Okay, so I have some an update about the puppy mill. We had Dan Paul on, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. We had him on a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about puppy mills and what's going on within Washington State. And there is actually a bill that is up right now and which will hopefully get passed. It is Senate Bill 5651. And this is a bill to put into law some basic guidelines to protect dogs who are in breeding facilities, to basically prevent these mass puppy mill situations like the ones that were busted a few months ago, where there were, I think, a total of like 600 dogs or something like that, which is just insane. And these dogs live in terrible, terrible conditions, and we just really cannot tolerate that. And so having laws in place will help prevent those types of situations and also help law enforcement officials follow through with breaking these types of establishments up. So what there is actually something that you can do, you listeners can do, and everybody who has ever loved a dog, you can go to the Humane Society of the United States website, which is www.hsus.org. And there's a search bar in the top left of the homepage. And you can just type in 5651, which is the number of the Senate bill for Washington State for the puppy mills. And it'll bring you to more information about that. And there is a action alert thing that you can click on beneath that information about the bill, where it's really easy for you to find who your representative is and send them some information asking them to pass this bill and just to give them support and give these dogs a voice that they don't have. So I really encourage everybody to do that. It only takes a few minutes, and they being the dogs, really need us to stand up for them, because the these types of things, these puppy mills, are we just can't tolerate their existence at all. It's just insane to me. So just a few things about the bill. The first sentence just really hit home to me, and it says the first thing that they say in the bill is that dogs are neither a commercial crop nor commodity, and should not be indiscriminately or irresponsibly mass-produced. And I could not agree more with that. And so there's just a few basic, or actually several basic guidelines that this bill will put in to protect the dogs. That a facility cannot have more than 25 dogs over the age of 4 months with intact sexual organs. So this is just keeping the numbers down, the sheer numbers of breeding dogs down. And anyone with more than 10 dogs that are intact over 4 months must, and then there's a list of requirements for them. And they must have the space to spread out, lying down, totally spread out without touching anything. So they can't touch the edges of the cage or other dogs. They have to have at least the space to do that if they want to. At least an hour of exercise outside of their cage. I'm sort of paraphrasing these things. For the exact information, you guys can look up the bill 5651, Senate Bill 5651, and you can really read through it thoroughly. Adequate housing, meaning it's a sanitary, the dogs remain dry and clean, that they don't stack cages one atop the other. Cages must be cleaned daily, access to clean food and water, provide veterinary care without delay. Female dogs are only allowed to produce one litter per year. And there's a few other just basic guidelines, and that this is not a law for, so these are laws that are yet to be passed, just these basic guidelines for keeping animals in humane conditions. At the very least, they should have these laws in place to protect them. So go to the Humane Society website, which again is www.hsus.org, and you can just type in 5651 in the search bar, and that'll bring you to some information about the bill and how to get in touch with your representative to encourage them to pass this bill at a minimum. So I also get an email this week that smelled fishy to me, and I just wanted to let you all know in case you got it as well. It's about this military dog, Hero, that was supposedly given a canine Congressional Medal of Honor. His name is Brutus, and he is a military canine, and he was in Iraq. The story goes that his handler and four other soldiers were taken, and Brutus and his handler communicate by sign language, and he gave Brutus the signal that meant go away, but come back and find me, which that was my first red flag. And it goes on with the story, and basically the dog comes back and finds them and frees them, and now he's been awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor. And then it has a picture, and it says that Brutus was a boxer and mastiff mix. And the picture is actually a Belgian Malinois, which looks sort of like a German Shepherd. They're really beautiful dogs. But I looked up this article, and it turns out that it is actually false. It is somebody's creative story. It's a nice story, I guess, but it's not true. So I just wanted to clarify, actually, the dog in the photo is a retired... I think he was a retired police dog from an Arizona police force, but it's actually a Belgian Malinois.
Well, he's probably got heroic stories that are actually true.
I'm sure he does.
Associated with this dog.
And he's very handsome. But, no Congressional Medal of Honor has ever been awarded to a dog.
Maybe it's time.
Maybe.
Maybe this is what this is crying out for.
Maybe it is. Yeah, a creative story nonetheless, but it is false. So I thought I would clarify if any of you got that email. Not true. very excited. Seattle Dog Show is this weekend. Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, Saturday and Sunday, March 7th and 8th. The Dog Talk Show will have a booth at the show. So come by and say hi. I'd love to meet you. We're going to have... free raffles for some large bags of Origin and a can of food, and some items from Urban Beast, a very cool store down right across from REI. So free raffles, And also free stickers with the Dog Talk Show logo, which is super cool if you haven't seen it. There's some great stickers. They're weatherproof, waterproof, so you can put them on your car.
Urine-proof?
Urine-proof.
Just because it's the Dog Talk Show, I feel we have to add that.
It's appropriate.
Yes.
Odor-proof. So you can put them on your car, water bottle, and those are free as well. And I'd love to see you. So come down to the Seattle Dog Show this weekend, March 7th and 8th, from 8 to 6, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Questfield Event Center. And I'll look forward to seeing you there. I'll look for the booth. So today we have Beth Rivard, who we're going to talk to in just a few minutes. She is the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program, which is a program they actually take shelter dogs and train them. The inmates actually train the dogs to be service dogs. And I had the opportunity to take a tour of the facility and actually sit in on a training class about a month ago. And it was absolutely amazing, really wonderful experience. So really excited to talk to her in just a few minutes. So we have some commercials to run. And then when we come back, we will talk with Beth Rivard. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Well, I caught my wife with another man, and it cost me 99. On a prison farm in Georgia, close to the Florida line. Well, I've been here for 2 long years. I finally made the warden my friend. And so he sentenced me to a life of ease, taking care of old Red.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
that I've ever seen. Got a nose that can smell a two-day trail. He's a four-legged tracking machine. You can consider yourself mighty lucky to get past the gators and the quicksand beds. But all these years that I've been here, ain't nobody got past red.
All right, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and today we have a very, very special guest, Beth Rivard, the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program. Hi, Beth.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So I had the opportunity to come down there and take a tour of your facility and sit in on a training class, which was such a wonderful experience. It's definitely still with me. And I am excited to talk to you and ask you a lot of questions and just give the listeners just general information about what you do in your program and how they can help support it.
Sounds great.
So tell us about, you know, what the program is.
Well, our mission is twofold. We provide vocational education to offenders, and we also train service dogs for people with disabilities. We offer, through the vocational education program, we have a full-service boarding and grooming facility, so people in the community can bring in their animals, dogs and cats, for grooming and boarding. Mm-hmm. And then the service dog part of the program is we take in homeless animals from animal shelters and also from rescue groups, and we bring them in and we teach the offenders to train them to be service dogs for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. And how was the program founded?
The program started in about 1982, and it was kind of the brainchild of a nun, Sister Pauline Quinn, and also Dr. Leo Bustad from Washington State University. And it was their combined idea of how animals are so therapeutic to each of us that perhaps it would be a good idea to incorporate that into prison. And so the program was started here. It was part at the Women's Correctional Facility as part of Tacoma Community College. It was a canine program for the offenders. They learned basic anatomy and physiology, did some rescuing of animals from shelters, trained the dogs, and sent them back to the shelters for adoption. Eventually, it kind of evolved into training service dogs. And about 1990, Tacoma Community College lost funding through the State Department of Corrections, and the focus became more of adult basic education, reading, writing, and arithmetic for the offenders. So the canine program was dropped, but because it was so popular within the institution, with the offenders, with staff, and the community, people involved with the program decided to make Prison Pet Partnership a private nonprofit organization.
Mm.
So the nonprofit organization began in 1990.
Okay. And is it? It's still that case.
And it's still that. We're a private nonprofit operating within the walls, so to speak, of the women's prison.
Okay. And you, are you still not getting state funding?
We do have a contract with the Washington State Department of Corrections, mm-hmm. To provide vocational education. So we do get some funding.
Okay.
It's about 5% of our overall budget. So we do get some funding for the educational part of our program.
Okay. And so you have a classroom and actually kennels set up within the facility.
Correct.
So when you talk about boarding and grooming and stuff like that, the dogs, you actually go into, you know, through the security into
Correct.
The prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have a kennel facility. We have 28 dog kennel runs, and we have the capacity for about 12 cats at this point. And those are for community members that bring their animals in for boarding. They actually come into the facility. They meet with an offender kind of at a midway point to exchange information about the dog or cat. and then the offender actually brings the animals down to our kennel facility.
Mm-hmm. And that is a way that you create funding for the program.
Right. Exactly. It's a it's probably about 35% of our income for our budget.
Okay. And how much is it for somebody to board their dog or cat?
Our boarding is $15 a day for first dog and $13 a day for additional dogs, and it's $9 for cats.
Okay. And so when the dogs come in, it's just similar to a boarding kennel, and they
right.
get lots of attention when they're there.
Oh, yes.
And
lots of attention. Lots of attention. Yeah, at least they get exercised at least four times a day. We have 8 kennel workers for 28 dogs, so the ratio is pretty good. So they've got lots of time to spend with the animals, mm-hmm. not just walking, but just sitting in the kennel, brushing, mm-hmm. petting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And that's $15 a day is a very, very competitive rate for boarding. So it's a really great, considering the quality of the care that they're getting, it's definitely...
Right.
Very
oh,
cost-effective
yeah.
way for the community to have their dogs boarded in a nice place, and it's down. And you guys are down in Purdy, Washington,
right? Okay. Right, just outside of Gig Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so for the service dog training, you take dogs from shelters,
right?
So dogs who need homes, and often who haven't had much training.
Oh yeah.
Yes, or any. That's usually.
Right.
Part of the reason why they're in the shelters.
Right.
So how do you, what's the process that you actually go out and find dogs?
It's a pretty intensive process. We have our training coordinator, Grace Van Dyke, goes out to the shelters. We also have volunteers who have been trained to go out to shelters and look for dogs. The selection process is pretty lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the dogs. Most shelters have a get acquainted area or a get to know me space. Where we can take the dogs, we'll play ball, we'll see if they try to guard resources, food, bones, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs have to be able to be good in any environment, kids, cats, dogs,
mm-hmm.
Loud noises, you name it. The animals have to be okay once they're placed as a service dog. They have to be pretty fail-proof.
Yes.
So it's a pretty hefty evaluation period. And that's in the shelter. So, you know, we're not really getting a clear view of the dog's personality in the shelter. So many are stressed or, so we don't really see what the true dog's personality is like until after they've come in.
Yeah.
And maybe even several months down the road. So,
yeah. And it's definitely a matter of having somebody who can have it, who has a sense for what might really be lying underneath the stress of
right.
being, you know, brought to a shelter. And these are young dogs. So that's, you know, dogs of that age have a hard enough time as it is, you know, with adolescence and stuff like that. So you do the screening process and do some basic testing for, you know, to see how well they tolerate certain things that are requirements. Like
right.
you said, the resource guarding and that kind of thing. And then you bring them in. Once you feel like this dog is a potential candidate to be a service dog, they come in to into the prison and then live there.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. When the animals first come in, they're typically we have an isolation area so that they're not boarding near the animals that come in from the community,
mm-hmm.
Just in case there happen to be any diseases that they may have acquired from a shelter. So we isolate them for a period of typically 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but we assign an offender to the dog to start working with the dog to training, you know, sitting, walking on a leash,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. So they can start the bonding process even while they're still kind of isolated from the other dogs.
Mm-hmm. And so how does that, so are there at any given time some offenders that are involved with the program who don't necessarily have a dog to work with?
Yeah, there are times when it's either difficult to find an appropriate candidate for the program of dog canine candidate from the shelter, so we may be lower on dogs, or maybe we have just had a graduation, so we don't have a lot of dogs in. So there are times when offenders don't have a dog, and there are also offenders that work in the program that may not want to also train a dog. The women in our program typically have two jobs. They work in the kennel 5 days a week, and then they go home and they have one or sometimes two service dogs in training. So that's a 24/7 job. So some of the women have chosen to either hold off on training a dog for a while, or they may train for a little while and then take some time off and then train again. So
yeah,
it's a full-time job.
And when you say they take them home, that means actually back to a cell?
Right. Back to the cell in the living units. They have typically another one roommate plus one or two dogs in the cell with them.
And do they typically live with other women in the program?
Sometimes they live with other women in the program if they're not living with another offender that's also training. They can have two dogs, but if we have two trainers in the same room, then each trainer can really only be assigned one dog. So we like to kind of spread them out a bit so that each trainer can have two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's difficult if there's two trainers in a room, they can't really have four dogs. That's too many in it.
Right.
8 by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's just, I mean, the therapeutic value alone of just having a dog with you all the time.
Right.
I mean, for me, I can totally just imagine, I would go nuts if I didn't have access to dogs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same way. I go a weekend without my dog, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah. And when I go on vacation, you know, my dogs are at home and I see dogs on the street, I'm like, oh, I need to go say hi.
Yeah, I do the same thing, too. Skip the sightseeing. You want to see all the dogs in the town.
Mm-hmm. So what are the qualifications for the offenders to participate in the program?
In order to be involved with the program, the offenders have to have been in the institution at least a year. They have to have at least 2 years remaining so they can get the benefits of the entire program. They have to be major infraction free for a year, minor infraction free for 90 days. They can't have a history of crimes against children, animals, seniors, or people with disabilities, and they have to have a high school diploma or a GED or be in the process of completing. Once they meet that criteria, we have a class that our kennel supervisor, Rachel Keeler, teaches, and it's a pet care technician level one class, and they learn everything, basic anatomy and physiology, common diseases in a kennel environment, customer service, bookkeeping, record keeping, all those types of things, how to operate, basically how to work in a kennel.
Yeah.
Once they meet that, they have that class, they have a final exam, and they have to score 75% or higher on that final exam in order for them to be considered for employment with the program.
Okay, and that's both as a trainer and in the kennel.
Correct, yeah. Usually we have the offenders, once we have an opening, we will interview offenders. They have to interview just like we have to interview for a job.
Yeah.
And if they are selected for the program, they usually start working in the kennel, and they have a 90-day evaluation period in the kennels. And so we can kind of observe how they interact with the animals and kind of their dog savvy and dog sense.
Yep.
And then at the end of that 90-day evaluation period, we get together and kind of talk about we do a review. And then if they're interested in training service dogs and we think that they, you know, have the ability to be able to live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and handle all of the behavior things that will come their way with an animal, then we'll offer them the opportunity to train service dogs as well.
Okay. That's great. Well, we're gonna take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back with Beth Rivard, the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program. We'll be back in just a minute.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Coming up March 9th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Vicki talks to Dr. Judith Orloff about the power of emotional freedom.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we're talking with Beth Rivard, the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program in the Women's Correctional Facility in Purdy, Washington. Welcome back, Beth.
Hello.
So I want to just let you listeners know, if you have any questions for Beth about the program, feel free to give us a call anytime now. The number to call is 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So if you have any questions for Beth, give us a call here at the station. So we're talking about the service dog training program that they have in the prison and that the women actually learn how to train dogs and also care for dogs in a kennel environment and grooming and boarding. And I had the opportunity to ask them some questions, but what have you seen, how have you seen this program transform offenders?
I think one of the things that I see a lot is just kind of the increase in confidence and self-esteem from the offenders. Mm-hmm. Many of them come into the program and they've never trained a dog or they've had dogs that just kind of run around the yard as family pets and they've really not done a lot of training. But kind of given the opportunity and the guidance to teach another living thing how to sit or stay or follow their lead or what have you, just they kind of feed off of each other. Once the animal learns to do something, the offender gets really excited about what it taught the animal, and then they want to teach more, and the dog wants to learn more. So they just kind of feed off of each other in that process, which kind of builds the whole self-esteem and confidence in the offenders.
Yeah, I would imagine that most of the women haven't had the experience of themselves as teachers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really true. Another thing that I see a lot with the offenders is without having heard this from them, I think that they see themselves in the animals. Mm. I think that the dogs are often mirrors of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
These animals are typically older or juvenile or young adult animals that just have kind of wound up in a shelter or
mm-hmm.
with a rescue group for behavior problems or lack of leadership or what have you. And I think that the offenders often see themselves in the dog and where they've been and where they are now. And by working with the dog and proving that the dog can get somewhere and move on to help somebody else, and mm-hmm. I think that they see a lot of themselves in what the dogs can provide for others.
Yeah, that makes sense, that mm-hmm. they have an awareness that the dogs came from shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And how is Stanley doing?
Stanley's great. Stanley is a yellow lab mix that's just a love. He just kind of smothers everybody's faces here with kisses whenever they come in. He's been in training about 3 months, 4 months, and he's likely going to be placed potentially as a therapy dog.
Uh-huh.
We have several clients on our waiting list with autism, and we think that Stanley would be a great match for a child or a young adult to kind of keep focused.
Yeah.
And to stay near someone. He's kind of a clinger. So
yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
So we're hoping that we can place him in as a therapy dog.
Yeah, he is a special dog, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's see. So with all the dogs that come in to be potentially service dogs, what's the percentage of that actually graduate to be working service dogs?
The percentage is about, we're running at about 15% success rate for the dogs that we take in, making it as full service dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common across the board for shelter animals. Training as service dogs, that's pretty common success rate.
Uh-huh.
The reason that the majority of our dogs don't make it is for behavior reasons. High prey drive, ball crazy, cat crazy, or afraid of loud noises or what have you. So those are some of the common reasons that the animals in our program don't make it. Those programs that do train service dogs from puppies have a higher success rate, about 60% or so.
Uh-huh.
Typically, those dogs fail due to medical reasons, hip or elbow problems or whatever. But obviously, with working with puppies, as you know, working with puppies, they have blank pages, and so they're easily, you know, molded to become service dogs. But we're working kind of with animals with that already have behavior issues, so it's more of a challenge. Those dogs that don't make it as full service dogs, though, we may place as a therapy dog.
Mm-hmm.
They may be placed in a facility. We've got a dog that's placed at Tacoma Lutheran Home.
Mm-hmm.
In Tacoma, we also have a dog at Spokane Veterans Home
mm-hmm.
as a facility therapy dog. And then dogs that wouldn't make it as therapy dogs are placed in homes with individuals or family, and we call those our paroled pets.
Yeah. So
right.
Regardless of whether they actually graduate to be service dogs, you are, you know, taking these dogs in from shelters and completing the training program to your satisfaction so that they have a higher chance of success once they reenter society as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's the same as with the offenders. That's correct.
Well, that's great. So... We have someone on the line for you to ask you a question.
Great.
We have Beryl, so we'll take line one. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I have a question for Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, by the way, congratulations. It's just a fabulous program. I'm just so happy to hear about programs that add some goodness into the lives of both dogs and women.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, and I forgive me if I've missed this, but I think I've listened to every word of the show. I'm curious about the inmates. have there been women who have gone through the program successfully with their dog and been able to transfer this over into an occupation for themselves when they leave the system?
Oh, absolutely. That's a key part of our program is the vocational education and providing marketable job skills to the offenders. Because we have offenders who have any range of time here in the facility, we don't have women involved in our program. We usually have maybe one or two getting out over a period of a couple years or so. So we don't have a lot of women coming out from our program consistently. But in the last several years, we've had about four women have left our program and have received jobs as groomers. We had one offender was released, and she was working at the Humane Society in Whatcom County and has now since moved on to a veterinarian in the Bellingham area. We have one woman who was a trainer, groomer, kennel worker with us who left the program and is now working at the Humane Society in King County. So it's definitely an opportunity for women to get jobs once they're released from the program and make a decent wage. And many of the jobs that they've received also have medical and dental benefits. So the risk of reoffending is greatly reduced if you have a job and can provide for yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very impressive. And thank you so much for answering my question.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And if you have any questions for Beth, give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We're going to go ahead and take another break here. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We'll be back in a minute with Beth Rivard.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
All right, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. I'm Julie Forbes, your host, and we are talking with Beth Rivard, the director of the Prison Pet Partnership Program. Hi, Beth.
Hey, hello.
So, again, if anyone has any questions for Beth, give us a call, 425-373-5527. And we're talking about the program and how it works and how it sets the women up who work within the program for success once they re-enter society. So let's see. What do they say that they get out of the program? What's the feedback you've heard from them, from the offenders?
Gosh, that's a good question. Feedback from the offenders. I have heard them say it provides me with the opportunity for unconditional love. I've heard them say that they've learned how to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned new skills. They learned more about themselves. They learned more about animals.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them to be calm, to learn patience.
Yeah, I remember one woman saying that when we were visiting and actually sitting in on a class, that when they were talking to us and answering our questions, that one woman said it had really taught her a lot about patience, which is an important skill to have for anybody, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here and out there, and a lot of them may not have had that before they came here, so it's definitely a valuable skill to be learning.
Yeah, and I've found that too myself as a trainer working with dogs. That is something that I have to continuously presence for myself and to be really mindful about when I'm teaching a dog. And I see, you know, people when I'm teaching people how to work with their dogs can tend to get flustered really quickly or frustrated quickly or you know, start to get frantic if the dog doesn't, you know, do what you've asked them to do after, you know, just a couple times. And it's just, you know, I tell people a lot when I'm working with them with their dogs to be patient and to not focus so much about the end result, especially at first, that a lot of the value is actually in the process of the dog's learning.
That's so true, and a big part of that I agree with that. I think the big part of that is observing what the dog is doing while you're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, as you said, rather than completing the task, what is the dog trying to figure out?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it that you're doing as a trainer that may not be providing the best cue or the best lure or the best lead to accomplish the task? It's always fascinating to me to watch the dog rather than to see the task done. It's like, what is the dog trying to figure out?
Yeah, and that's really what, you know, what a good trainer does is really be super, super present to the dog and being able to identify where, you know, what is the dog's thought process. If the dog isn't doing what you've asked them to do, why aren't they doing it? What do they need from you as a handler in order to be successful?
Right.
And so it's not just a, you know, it's a matter of having an individual understanding of the animal and making adjustments yourself. It's like a constant self-evaluation.
Right. And if we could all just videotape ourselves when we're working with the dog,
I know,
we would see all of our mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just, it's such a great skill for them to learn. And I can relate to that. I mean, just from how I've noticed, just people in the general public, what they learn out of learning how to really train their dog, you know, to a higher level of listening and a higher level of communication. It's really great. It's cool to see that light go on when they kind of get like, oh yeah, to just sort of slow down and realize that you're actually communicating. You're not just rattling off commands.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who's the trainer that works with the offenders?
Grace Van Dyke is our training coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
She came to us from the Assistance Dog Institute in California,
mm-hmm.
Where she went through their service dog training seminar.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she also, prior to that, she's from New Orleans originally,
mm-hmm.
And she worked as a veterinary technician, and so she did a lot of behavior work and vet tech work. So she's kind of got a good, well-rounded background to help us with all of our training and boarding and grooming and all of that. So,
uh-huh. And how long has she been with the program?
She's just been with the program since oh gosh, I'm going to say it's been since June of 2007. So almost 2 years.
Okay. And is that, how many different trainers, I guess, have you had? Do they tend to stay for a while, or does it depend?
Yeah, they do. Is offender trainers or non-offender trainers?
Offender trainers.
Offender trainers. The offender trainers, they can stay for any amount of time. We've got a couple of women that have been with the program 4 years. But I would say the majority of them have just been in the last year, have just joined the program in the last year or so.
Mm.
We've had women, we had one woman with the program for 10 years. Typically, I would say the average length of stay is maybe 2 to 3 years.
Uh-huh. And how long does it take? How long do the dogs typically go through? How long does it take for the dogs to go through the program?
That's usually about a year, of training the dog. And kind of it's kind of a, I like to call it a mass customization. We kind of train all of the dogs to do the same skills, retrieve, turn on lights, open doors. And then as we kind of come to the end of the dog's training, once they've got all of those skills and commands, there's about 82 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Once they've got all of those skills and commands down, then we'll look through the clients on our waiting list and identify the dog's strengths and skills and abilities and match them with the client's skills and abilities and try to make a good match and to create a good bond with the team. And then once we've identified the client, then we'll start doing more specific training for the dog geared towards the needs of that client.
Mm.
If the client is in a motorized wheelchair, we'll work the dog more often in the wheelchair. If they have a speech impairment, we'll try to mimic the speech pattern. If they have they use a walker or other assistive devices, we'll use those items in training the dog. Or if they have needs such as bracing to move from chair to chair, we'll work with the dog on that. So we'll kind of in the last couple of months start doing more training specific for the individual.
Mm-hmm. So you just sort of, you acclimate the dog to the, you know, like a wheelchair or,
right
so that they get used to, you know, they might be used to walking with somebody on leash, but they might not be used to walking next to somebody who's rolling.
Right.
Yeah.
And we certainly do some of that. Some of that training is involved in just the general training, but because they're all kind of accustomed to that after within a couple of months of coming into the program.
Mm-hmm.
But once we get to the end, we'll just really focus the training on doing most of it from the wheelchair or most of it using the walker or mm-hmm. most of it trying to mimic a speech pattern or what have you.
Mm-hmm. And do the dogs cost anything to the people who need them?
We don't charge a fee for getting the dog. We have a $25 application fee,
mm-hmm.
But we don't charge a fee for the dog. They mm-hmm. The clients, when they come to get their dog, they are required to attend a 2-week training,
mm-hmm.
which is here at the prison. So they do have to be able to pay for lodging and food or what have you,
right,
while they're here for that 2-week period. We place dogs in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, so we do have some people that come from a distance to get their dogs. So they mm-hmm. are here for a couple of weeks, but we do have a scholarship program, so those people who may not be able to afford room and board during that period can also get a scholarship through the program to cover some of the costs of that as well.
Okay. So I could just talk to you all afternoon, Beth, about this program. I just love it. So, and I want to make sure that listeners get some information. We only have a couple minutes left
sure.
on how they can help support the program. What do you need?
Gosh, just with any nonprofit organization, we've always got activities going on, fundraising activities. People could always donate online through our website, which is prisonpetpartnership.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can always call. We've got a wish list on our website, and you can also call our office at 253-858-4240 to get a list of items that we're always looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We have our big fundraising event is coming up in May 30th. It's mm-hmm. our Bark and Bid dinner auction held here in Gig Harbor, and that's also listed on our website. So we're always looking for attendees to come and have a good time and see the dogs and bid on some great auction items.
Okay.
And also volunteers. A big part of our program is we rely on community volunteers taking the dogs out to grocery stores, shopping malls. Obviously, we can't do that here in the facility, so we really could always use some volunteers willing to take dogs out for socialization or vet appointments or all of that. Always have wonderful, wonderful group of volunteers in our program.
Okay. Well, I will be sure to give listeners that information again in future shows. And so that brings us to the end of the show. So we'll have you back soon, Beth. Beth Rivard, the Prison Pet Partnership Program. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Thanks so much, Beth.
Views expressed on the...